Well, I appreciate that song this afternoon, and you know, if it were not for the Lord, we'd all be in a lot of place than we are today. It's really easy sometimes to take for granted the blessings that we have in life, but if the Lord would not have come and made the atonement for sin, would not have made an experience of salvation available to us, all of us here today would be in a much different place.
Yes.
We have very much to be thankful for today. The little message I'd like to leave with you this afternoon, I've written on the board for those who can't see it, remember the fire. And I'd like to remember starting out around the time when God gave the law to Moses. You remember that circumstance? Remember Mount Sinai? What we find is that Moses went up and down the mountain more times than one over the course of getting the law. And I'd like to look at a couple of those times. To start with, I want to read through a few verses. You don't have to turn to if you don't want. You can listen. In the 19th chapter of Exodus, in the 9th verse, it said, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord." Because the people had told Moses earlier, they said, "We'll do whatever the Lord says to do, that's what we're going to do." So then Moses was going and talking to the Lord, and the Lord told Moses, He says, "I'm going to come to you in a real thick cloud so that the people hear what I have to say to them so that they'll believe this forever." And then Moses told the Lord the words that the people had said. And then in the 16th verse it said, "And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled." This wasn't just normal thunder and lightnings. This was the Lord making His presence known to the people so that they would remember, "I am God. This is what I'm having to say to you." And so it thundered. It said it lightened and the thick cloud came upon the mount. And it said, so that all the people in the camp were joyful and running around? No, it said they trembled. It got their attention. And it said, "And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke." I want you to get the visual of this. "Because the Lord descended upon it in fire." That's why the smoke wasn't just a cloud of condensation. There was a cloud of smoke over the mountain because God Himself came down on the mountain and descended on the mountain in fire, it said. "And smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly." Quite an occurrence, wasn't it? Have you ever seen anything like that? Alright, now if we turn over to the 20th chapter of Exodus, and I'm going to just read through some of these. There's a lot that could be said. "And all the people saw the thunderings and lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed," and it said they stood afar off. "And they said to Moses, Speak thou with us and we'll hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die." He'd gotten their attention, hadn't he? "And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that His fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off. And Moses drew near unto the thick darkness, where God was." Now we're going to flip over to the 24th verse, or the 24th chapter, and the 15th verse. "And it said, And Moses went up into the mount." Now, It's easy to get kind of forgetting what all was happening going through the chapters this fast. But Moses and God had had more than one different interaction and discussion over the course of this time. And then Moses would talk to the people. Moses would go back talk with God. And so all this was happening. The people were down on the base of the mountain, and there was the presence of the Lord coming down in this mighty way. And now in the 24th chapter, in the 15th verse, it said, "And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel." So I want you to continue to get the visual of this. The children of Israel are down on the mountain, at the base of the mountain. The Lord had already told them, don't let them come past this point lest they die. So they're down there and they're watching, and there's fire and there's thunders and there's lightnings and there's quaking and there's smoke going up, and the people are trembling, and the presence of God is up there. And it said, "And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel." So they're seeing all this. This wasn't just all happening in this haze of smoke, and they couldn't really see what was going on behind all the smoke. They were beholding all of this that was going on. And it said, "And Moses gat into the midst of the cloud, and gat him up in the mount, and Moses was in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. This was the last time Moses went into the mountain, when he got the law from the Lord that were then put on the tablets. So now he went up into the mountain, and now he was up there for 40 days. Alright, he had already talked with God a couple of times throughout this time. Now, ask this question. Do you think God had gotten their attention? Would He have gotten your attention?
Yeah.
Had you been standing down there at the bottom of the mount and you saw that? And by the way, Moses was telling the people, they knew that there was communication going on with God. It wasn't like, "Oh, well, it looks like there's a fire up on the top of the mountain." They were well aware there was God up there, and there was this discourse that was happening back and forth. I think it would have gotten my attention. Now, if we go to the 31st, now all these chapters we're getting ready to skip. We're going to go all the way to the 31st chapter of Exodus. And during this time, if you were to read through these chapters, over the course of the 40 days and the 40 nights, God is giving Moses all of the commandments of the law. So you can read through Exodus, and I mean, it talks about all kinds of things of the law that God was giving to Moses. But we're going to skip to the end and go to the 31st chapter and the 18th verse. And it said, "And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God." Alright. So now all this has happened. God has given the law to Moses. There's been a lot of things that have happened. Now, read this next verse with me. Chapter 32 and 1. "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down off the mount, the people gathered themselves unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him." See a problem with any of this? What? We don't know what's become of Moses? And so now? Now they want Aaron to make them other gods that they may follow because they don't know what has happened to Moses. So after 40 short days, so soon after telling Moses, "Tell the Lord, we'll do everything that he commands us to do. And after seeing all that they just saw, we just read about it real quick, but I want to tell you something. Had you been at the bottom of that mountain, it took longer than what it took me to read it to you, and it made a very strong impression on them, it seemed. But now, after 40 days, that's it, 40 days, they're saying, Aaron, we don't know what's become of Moses. And so since we don't understand what's become of Moses, we'd like you to make us other gods that we may be able to follow. What? Really? We kind of shake our heads, don't we? We shake our heads and we wonder, oh, how can they do that? Well, let me ask you this question. Does everybody here today, do you believe in God? Have you seen enough of God? Have you been exposed enough in your life that you without question believe there's a God? I think the answer is probably yes. Don't we believe there's God? Don't we believe in God? But what do we do sometimes? Such a short time after, maybe the power of the Lord comes down in a special message, or maybe He reveals Himself to you in a real special way. Have you ever had those times where God comes and He visits you in such a out of the ordinary way that's just really, really special? Can you look back on some times in your life where it's like, wow, the Lord really came and met me? You know, those times, talking about those times that you can't just make it up yourselves. Like, I think tomorrow I'm going to have the Lord visit me like that. And maybe about 2:30, and 2:30 comes around, you ring the bell, and now you're going to have that experience. It doesn't work like that, does it? I'm talking about when God chooses to come down and fill your soul with something, overfill your cup. We've had those times, haven't we? But do you know what happens to us sometimes? Even after when those sorts of things happen, is it possible that sometimes we too forget? And 40 days later, we find ourselves like the man who beheld himself in a glass. And then it said he went away and straightway, what? Forgot what manner of man he was. Are we ever guilty of that? You know, I can present this message and read these verses and try to make it sound like these people, they were just, I mean, they were off. How could they ever do something like that? And when you read it, that's kind of how you feel. It's like, how could they do that after just seeing what God, who He was, and the fire and the smoke and the clouds and the quaking, and now 40 days later, because they don't understand where Moses is, they want to make other gods. And yet when you think about it, folks, we're human. And there are times that we can do the same thing. I want to learn from this for myself. I want to get a hold of this and see, Lord, what is it that You want me to learn from this? Because if I'm not careful, I may end up doing the same thing. I don't want to turn to other gods because there's something that maybe I don't understand, or I get distracted or taken away, carried away. I want to learn from this. I want to turn to 1 Peter now. We'll end in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. 1 Peter 5 and 6. I want to start reading there. It says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered for a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Well, you may wonder, what does this passage have to do with what it was that we just read? Well, listen to what the first verse was that we read. "Humble yourselves therefore unto the mighty hand of God." Humble yourselves under the hand of the God who can cause the mountains to quake. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that comes in the form and presence of fire, and there's smoke and there's a loud trumpet, and the God that comes that is the God of all truth. He's the God of the mountains. He's the God of the valleys. He's the God of the good times. He's the God of the bad times. He's the God that can take His finger and write in the tablets a perfect law that's right the first time. He doesn't have to do any editing and going back and scratching his head and changing this. And well, maybe this needs to be modified. No, this is the mighty hand of God who is the God of all truth. And the Scripture said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of that God. Recognize who He is and who you are. We're at a whole different level than God, aren't we? Casting all your care on Him, for He careth for you. Isn't that encouraging? We get to cast our care on that God? The same God that can cause the mountains to quake? The same God that when He comes down and the light, that there's fire and there's smoke and there's power and there's glory and there's all truth? A God who is lifted up higher than anything we could begin to get our minds wrapped around. And the Scripture exhorts us that we have the privilege of casting our care on Him. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Because there's another little part of this that says, because He cares for you. God wants us to know, yes, that is who I am, a mighty God, under the mighty hand of God. And I care about you. But listen to what comes next. All of a sudden, in the 8th verse, quickly and immediately, we start reading about something very different. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now we're getting a warning, aren't we? I want to say something this afternoon. The devil is not out just to make us bad. He's out to make us bad. But the devil is also out to try to get us to turn our eyes off of where Jesus is. The enemy is out to do everything he can to try to get us to forget and to lose sight of who God is and who we are. The children of Israel in 40 short days lost sight of the realness of God. And they began to become interested in developing, the Scripture said, their own gods. Just because we don't understand God or His way doesn't mean that God isn't in control and that He's not aware. God is very much in control. He's very aware of everything that's going on in your life. He's still the God. The God that we serve today is still the same God that descended upon Mount Sinai way back then and gave the law. That's the same God that we're serving today. Is there a lot that we don't understand? Absolutely, there's a lot we don't understand. Could we say, like the children of Israel, well, we don't know what has become of this or that. And so because of that, we don't understand. Are there things we don't understand? There's lots of things I don't understand. But God wants us to be so grounded and trust in who He is that we not allow the enemy to get our eyes off of God.
Amen.
And there is an enemy of our soul that is out to try to capture our attention. The enemy is out to try to get us distracted, trying to get us to focus on things, maybe ourselves, internally, things that we're able to wrap our mind around. And so then we're challenged in the 9th verse, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Do you ever feel like you're the only one that's challenged with certain spiritual battles in life? You ever feel that? You ever feel like I'm the only one that's having to deal with this? You remember Elijah one time, wasn't it Elijah that told the Lord, he thought he was the only one that was still not bound down, or that he was the only one still bound down to the one true God. Remember what God told him? He had a whole lot of other people out there that hadn't bowed down either. But it seems like a lot of times the enemy likes to come in and discourage us and try to make us think, well, you got a special set of circumstances and you're kind of out over here and nobody else has the battle that you're going through. Well, this says resist the enemy, resist those that falsehood. It said, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Take courage.
Yeah.
Resist the enemy. Don't listen to that. Don't give in to that. The message this afternoon is, remember the fire. You're not always going to see and feel the fire. The Israelites didn't see and feel the fire for the next 40 days that Moses was up there. And that was part of their problem, is they began to forget about that. But remember the fire. Remember the times that God has come down and blessed you in a real, special, definitive, wonderful way. He's still the same God. There's going to come times, we talked about this morning, that in-between times. Those are some difficult times, but it's reality. God wants you to be faithful in the in-between times. Aren't you glad that the story didn't end it where it said, and the disciples fished all night and they caught no fish and they went to the shore and they were really tired and hungry, didn't have anything to eat. Or, Lazarus was sick and his sisters called for Jesus, but Jesus was late and didn't come and Lazarus died and that was the end of that story. Or the people were hungry and all they had was a couple of loaves of fishes and they didn't have enough to eat, and so they all went away hungry to their house. Aren't you glad the story didn't end like that? See, there's this in-between point. We can read the story where maybe they didn't understand how if they cast their nets on the other side of the boat, they could have a lot of fishes. Or if they were willing to offer the little loaves and fishes, the Lord could turn it into something great. Or even though Jesus Christ came 4 days late and Lazarus was in the tomb, He was still right on time. God wants us to remember these things. He wants us to remember that I'm God. I've got everything in control. I can take care of you. Don't forget who I am. Remember the fire on the top of the mountain. Remember the times where I have blessed you with. And in the hard times, recall those times and don't lose sight that I'm still God and I still love you and I still want to care for you. He went on and he said, but the God of all grace who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered for a while, the Lord never promised we were never going to have to suffer at all. The Lord never said that we would always understand everything. The Lord never said that we would never experience any pain. The Lord never said that once I come down and die on the cross, there'll be no more suffering for anybody. But it does say, after you suffered for a little while, are you willing to suffer for the Lord just a little bit? Today, I want us to be encouraged to look to Jesus. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. Be willing to always abound in the faith, because God hasn't gone anywhere. He's still God. He still answers prayer. Today, stay focused. Don't lose faith. Keep your eyes upward. Remember the fire, because Jesus Christ, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still God. He still answers prayer. He's still in control. He hasn't gone anywhere. He knows your name. He knows the steps that you take. And He wants you to know that He knows. And that we not lose faith in that. Be encouraged this afternoon as we go go from here and face another week. Sometimes it's easy for the enemy to come in and begin to distract us from the Lord God in heaven, who is there, that cares about us, that wants us to cast all of our cares on Him, knowing that He cares for us. And when the enemy comes in and starts to try to feed you a bunch of lies and tell you that it isn't going to work for you, and be steadfast in your faith, because the Lord is the same God today as He was back then, and He still cares for you, and He'll carry us all the way through if we'll be faithful. Pray for me. I want to be faithful to the Lord. Amen.